the first verse of chapter number 4. And as we conclude this portion of Scripture, this part of the book of Colossians, we're mindful that the third chapter of the book of Colossians, it started with a reminder of our position in Christ. And I am so thankful to be in Christ. I am so thankful to be a child of His. Amen. And the reality is that we, as we studied the first portion of Colossians 3, we understood that my position will impact my pursuits. What am I pursuing in life? And when I understand my position, when I understand this world is not my home, amen, I'm just passing through, I'm so thankful to know that heaven is my home, that I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. I'm not home, but I'm going home, amen? And the reality is that our position will impact our pursuits. We then looked at the next section, and it was a weighty section in Colossians 3, dealing really with the process of sanctification. And it is the plan of God that the child of God would be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and His dear Son. And we are to be like Christ. And as we go through the Christian life, we understand that it's not in my power, it's not in your power to live the Christian life. It's Christ in us. It is walking in the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we went through a number of truths that were provided in that section of Colossians 3. And then really the last several lessons we've dealt with, now how does that impact my behavior? How is it that your behavior, how is it that my behavior in our daily lives is going to be impacted by the truth that is given to us in this chapter in Colossians 3? If I follow the instructions, if I put off the old man, the flesh, and I put on the new man, the Spirit, if I'm walking in the Spirit so that I'm not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, by the way, that's not just for 10:30 on Sunday morning, that is for our lives. That is every day of our lives, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand again that it's not in our own power, it's through His power. We looked at the truth of how this would impact our behavior in the church house. In the church house. We understand the church in Corinth, they had all kinds of problems and divisions and schisms, and they were, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos, and all of this debate and division that was present, that is not the plan of God. That is not pleasing to the Lord. And so we find that there's behavior in the church house that will be impacted as we follow the instruction. We then looked at the section dealing with in our homes. A home where the Lord is glorified. And I'm so thankful that God instituted the home, that God designed the home, that God has provided instruction for the home. As we looked at that particular message and dealt with that section here in Colossians 3, we understood that it's God that designed the home, and therefore it is God that is the authority with regard to the operation of the home. We can debate it, we can fight it, we can resist it, we can try to listen to somebody else and some other authorities, we can listen to culture and society, but the reality is that God is the authority. And it is in our best interest to just simply submit to what God has said, and we can have a home where God is honored. This morning, we'll be looking at our behavior in the workplace. You say, man, even the Bible deals with our behavior in the workplace? Absolutely. Because God's Word deals with every area of our lives. And we understand that as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, that the terminology will be used with that relationship between servants and masters. And though that relationship doesn't exist in the same context in which we deal with in this particular era in which this was written, I believe that it would be appropriate for us to make the application with regard to our behavior in the workplace. How is it that we behave in the workplace? What is it, as I've understood my position in Christ and its impact at my pursuits, as I've understood the process of sanctification, if I put off the old man and I put on the new man, if I'm walking in the power of the Holy Spirit of God so that I'm not fulfilling the lust of my own flesh, that should be seen in our workplace. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, there's great truth that is given to us that I believe will help us, and I'll mention this at the end of the message as well this morning, but I truly believe that if we would take the principles that God provides us with in His Word and apply them in our lives, specifically dealing here with this aspect of our behavior in the workplace, I believe it could be a catalyst for revival. I really do. Because the people that you work with, the people that see you on a daily basis, they need to see that mystery that Paul spoke of in Colossians 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do they see something different about us when we're in that workplace, when we're dealing with those various aspects of being in the corporate world? Do they see in us something different? Do they see Christ in you, the hope of glory? Or is that reserved to just the church service times, and then we just kind of put that off, and then we go into the corporate world, and now I'm working in corporate America? It ought not be. And we find here great truth that is given to us. Notice, if you will, as we begin the passage of Scripture in verse number 22, the Bible says this, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." As we begin to look at this portion of Scripture, I'd say, number one, examine the principle. God gives us a principle here in verse number 22 that is worth our examination. Again, as we look at this passage of Scripture and deal with the servants and the masters, I'll be looking this morning at making the application of the servant to that of the employee. As we think about the principle that is given here, we find, first of all, there's a principle of obedience, a principle of submission. We find that he says, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. The reality is that you and I do not have to work for the company that we work for, but if we make a decision to work for the company in whom we work for, and they have standards, they have rules, then we must follow those rules. We must obey, we must submit. It is a responsibility that we have as a child of God. And I understand this morning that we live in a time in which those things are hotly debated, and I understand all that's taking place with regard to the overreach and so on and so forth, but the reality is that we understand that God has given us a principle, and I believe that as we examine the principle and we begin to understand how this principle is played out and how it's effective in our lives in being able to reach others with the gospel. We find that here, as he says, not only this truth of obedience, but I believe that we also see a very important principle that is given to us in verse number 22, and that is a principle of integrity. You know, we live in a day and age in which integrity is missing. There are people that do not operate with integrity. We find here that it says at the end of the verse, not with eye service as men pleasers. Now think about that statement. There are plenty of folks that no doubt you've heard the phraseology, the cliche that has been around for no doubt decades, that while the cat's away, the mice will play. You've heard that. It's something that we've become familiar with. There are times in which, as I worked in the corporate world, there would be folks that would be doing all sorts of things that were not in line with what the job duties were, with what the responsibilities were. But as soon as the boss came into the room, as soon as the boss came into the area in which those employees were, all of a sudden they straighten up and they're going to start doing what they're supposed to be doing. Often I heard it. I can't tell you how many times I heard when I worked in the corporate world, you got to look busy. What do you mean look busy? You're either doing your job or you're not. Amen? If you're getting paid to do a job, you ought to have integrity and you ought to work. You ought to be the reality is that the Christian in the workplace, they ought to be the best employee that that workplace has. Honestly, ought to be the absolute best employee. Why? Because the principle is that we're not doing this with eye service as men pleasers. Because I live in a completely different realm. I live in the heavenlies, if you will. I'm seated already positionally. Remember, the chapter begins with our position in Christ, and that position impacts my pursuits. I'm not trying to please my boss. I'm trying to please my Savior. Amen? And as I please my Savior, and as I do what I'm supposed to do in the sight of God, then the outflow of that, one of the results of that, is that my employer also is going to be pleased. We find here that the Bible says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but notice what it says, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. How often we lose the principle that is given to us here, and we get into the workplace and we just begin to perhaps be impacted and affected by those in which we work with, and by their lack of integrity, their lack of purpose, and their lack of hard work, and it will rub off on the child of God. Oh, you're just an overachiever, always trying to please, blah, blah, blah. People say that kind of stuff. Why? Because they don't get it. They don't understand that we have a Bible that teaches us not only how we behave in the house of God, not only how we behave in our homes as families, but also how we behave in the workplace. And as I understand the principle that is given to us in verse number 22, I find that it's a principle of obedience, a principle of integrity. We're not seeking to simply please men. We're seeking to please our God. In singleness of heart, fearing God. Man, that's precious. And it really leads us, not only as we look at the principle, but if you're taking notes, I want you to notice number two, that we're to embrace the perspective. I understand that as we work in the work world, as we work in the corporate environment, that there are times in which we will be adversely affected and perhaps ridiculed because of our integrity, because of our work ethic, and there will be folks that will seek to attack us, but we must embrace the perspective that is given in the next two verses of Scripture. When I have a proper, I will say this, a biblical perspective, it makes a world of difference. If I ask myself the question, why am I here? Or maybe I ask myself this question, and we'll deal with this at the end of the message as well, who am I here for? Why does God have you where He has you? Why did God give you the job that He gave you? Those are questions that we begin to ask ourselves, and we understand the perspective that is given here, and as we have that biblical perspective, it makes a world of difference. Notice what it says in verse 23, "And whatsoever ye do." Now, that's pretty all-inclusive, is it not? Amen? I mean, "and whatsoever ye do." Find some wiggle room. I mean, well, that doesn't apply here. Well, that doesn't apply. No, whatsoever ye do. Whatsoever ye do. Whatsoever you do. Do it how? Notice what he says, heartily. Heartily. You ever hear somebody say, well, that's good enough for government work? Right? Oh, that's good enough. You ever have that, man, we're just gonna, somebody just mails it in, so to speak, just kind of takes it easy? Well, what's our perspective when we think about the work environment? What is it that God is telling us? As I look here, it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, with not half-heartedness, not just it's good enough for government work, or not just I'm a better employee than my coworker, because it's not about comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. I believe that we can even adopt what Paul says to the Corinthians in that violation. We can adopt that even into the application of in the workplace. I'm not seeking to just compare myself to my coworker. And by the way, if I want to do that, I'm probably going to find the worst coworker that I have to compare myself with them. But the Bible says that we're to do it heartily. Notice what it says, as to the Lord, and not to men. As to the Lord. What a great perspective. When you go to work, when you engage at that workplace, when you understand that God has placed me here for His purpose, for His glory, and I'm doing this job that I'm doing for Him. As to the Lord. You know, that's going to change your perspective. Because all of a sudden, you're not going to view your boss the same way that you currently view your boss. Because it's not about your boss. Oh, there's still things that you have to deal with. There's still things that you're going to have to manage and so on and so forth. But all of a sudden you say, well, I'm not really working for that person. I'm working for God, as to the Lord. I'm doing this for my Savior. I'm doing this for my Master. I'm seeking to have a good testimony for God in this place. And I do it as to the Lord, not unto men. It is absolutely possible that we could receive the accolades of man and yet displease God. It's possible. We begin to think about this particular perspective that is given to us, and I believe this morning that it's important when we think about a perspective that we would embrace it. That we would say, this is how I want to have my focus when I get up and I go into the workplace, when I, this week, tomorrow, as I go into the workplace, I want to have this perspective. I want to embrace this perspective. I guarantee you the enemy is going to fight you. I guarantee you something's going to happen and it's going to cause you that moment of frustration. And then you just kind of can take a step back and say, listen, I'm doing this not as a men pleaser. I'm doing this heartily as to the Lord. Notice in verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. And then notice this last phrase, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Ye serve the Lord Christ. I want you to think about this. We as Bible believers, as those that have trusted Christ as our Savior, were saved, we're heaven bound. The reality is that I'm going to heaven. I'm not looking to just receive a plaque with my name on it in the front office. I'm not looking for that corner office for some level of accolades. It's fine to be accomplished, and it's fine to pursue and to have that recognition. But ultimately, my perspective is the fact that I'm serving Christ and I'm going to heaven one day. And I can get so busy with trying to pursue the corner office, I can get so busy with trying to get my name on a plaque and with all of the recognition and accolades that could come in the workplace, and get so busy with those things that I have in my mind compartmentalized spiritual from carnal, if you will. Carnal is a bad word to use, but just the everyday monotony of life, and saying, well, this is the workplace, and therefore I really don't have any responsibilities here. No, God has placed you there. You are the light in your workplace. And we begin to understand how this perspective will demand our best. It will demand that we understand that we're living for Christ and we're serving the Lord Christ. This is really, this truth is given to us in every area. We look at the application here with regard to the workplace, and we think about our behavior in the workplace. But as I am working at the church house, I'm cutting grass, I'm cleaning the church house, man, I'm doing that for the Lord. I'm doing it for Christ. And as I finish up the job, the task that's at hand, I look back and I say, would my Savior be pleased with that? Did I do my best? Did I do it as a men pleaser, or did I do it to with singleness of heart, fearing God, serving God? It'll change how we operate. It really will. When I recognize that I'm doing it for the Lord. A number of years ago, I would not mention the individual's name for sake of embarrassment, for some may know who they are, but a number of years ago, I remember sitting and watching an individual, and as they were doing some work here at the church, and they could not get a piece of machinery to work that they were trying to get to work, and they were trying to blow off the parking lot with all of the debris after cutting grass, and they could not get the unit to work, and literally I saw on the cameras the individual with a broom to sweep the parking lot. Wow. I thought, man, would I do that? Or would I just be like, man, I couldn't get the thing to start, I'm sorry. But they were like, you know what, I never actually spoke to the individual about it, but I think the perspective was, I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this for God. I went out and helped get the machine started so that they could use the blower and not have to push. Could you imagine sweeping this parking lot? I've shoveled this parking lot more times than I could count, but I can't imagine sweeping the parking lot. But that perspective is a perspective. Listen, they didn't know anyone was even watching or knew. They're doing it for God. I like that perspective. Romans 12 and verse number 11, the Bible says this in this portion of Scripture. When we think about the responsibility, it says in the workplace, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business. Again, when we understand the principle that is given to us in verse 22 with regard to obedience, submission, integrity, and then we see this perspective, this biblical perspective that I'm working not for man, I'm working as to the Lord, I understand that I serve the Lord Christ, then we find that I cannot be slothful in business. It's going to demand my best. It's going to require that I give it my all. Not because I'm looking for accolades from man, but because I'm serving my Savior. We find that as we continue looking at the portion of Scripture, that not only do we see the need to examine the principle, embrace the perspective, but I find that we're to eliminate partiality. In verse 25 and then in verse number 1 of chapter number 4, we find that we're to eliminate partiality. You'll remember that the subject of partiality was addressed in verse number 11. It was back there where Paul said, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. And in all, we come to verse 25 of this third chapter, and the Bible says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. Notice this phrase, there is no respect of persons. Verse 1, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. No doubt there have been times in our lives where we have observed partiality in the workplace. No doubt there's times in which someone gets preferential treatment because of their last name, because of their relationship with the boss, because they go golfing with the CEO, whatever the circumstance is. We have witnessed, we have observed partiality in the workplace. But the biblical truth is that our God is no respecter of persons, and therefore we, as His people, should be no respecter of persons. Amen? There's some that are that sit within the congregation. There are some that are listening via live stream today that you find your place in a place of supervision in the workplace, that you find that your position is one in which you have individuals that would be responsible, accountable to you as a supervisor, manager, some level of executive leadership or management, whatever it may be. And the reality is that it is absolutely essential that there is no respect of person. That we understand that our God is no respecter of persons, and therefore we are to be no respecter of persons. We see it in our society, but it doesn't make it right. Amen? In fact, there are many times in which we'll observe partiality, and it will bother us. We find that God has given the truth here in this portion of Scripture that there should be no partiality. We're to eliminate the partiality. There should be fairness in punishment as well as in reward. Notice what it says in verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. Verse number 1, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. And so we understand this truth of fairness, not only in punishment, but also in reward. Notice over in the book of Galatians, if you will, hold your spot here in Colossians. We'll be back in just a moment, but look in Galatians chapter number 6. And I want you to see what we find here in this portion of Scripture with regard to the truth that God gives us. He is, again, no respecter of persons, and I'm thankful that He's given us that truth in His Word, and we too are to be no respecter of persons. It says in Galatians 6 and verse number 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There are consequences for our actions. It's just the way it works. Amen? And there's not, we understand in our lives the importance of this truth of us understanding it before God, but us also carrying judgment out in like fashion. Notice in verse number 8, there is oftentimes, as we think about verse number 7, we think about it strictly in the negative context. But if you look at verse number 8 of Galatians 6 with verse number 7, you find that the principle, may I say law, that is established here is a principle or law that is both positive and negative. It's easy to focus on the negative. But the reality is that verse number 8 reveals to us that it's both positive and negative. It says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." That's negative. All right, that's not a good deal. You don't want that fruit. That's the individual, as a preacher of yesteryear said, that there are people that claim to be followers of Christ that sow seeds of wickedness Monday through Saturday and then come to the church house on Sunday and pray for crop failure. That's a great quote. It's foolish. It's a great quote. They sow seeds of wickedness, and then they pray for crop failure. No, God says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." That's positive. And so the law, the principle that God has established of sowing and reaping, we understand biblically that there's a negative aspect of that, but there's a positive aspect of that. And the reality is that we need to be sowing good seeds so that we're reaping a good harvest. Amen? So that we don't have to worry about praying for crop failure. We can say, man, I want the crop to come in and I want it to come in good. I mean, I want it to be plentiful. Why? Because I've sown some good seeds and I'm looking for that good harvest. Amen? And we find that here we're to be no respecter of persons. We must eliminate partiality. As we think about this truth in Colossians chapter 3, to end the chapter and to begin the fourth chapter, when we think about our behavior in the workplace, and yes, there's principle, there's perspective, we're to eliminate this partiality, but I would submit to you this morning that I believe that our workplace, our behavior in the workplace, as I mentioned by way of introduction, can be, may I say, should be, a catalyst for revival. I wonder this morning, if we could just for a few moments as we conclude the service and think about this aspect of our behavior in the workplace and we think about the truth that God has given us and we say, how does this truth apply in my life? I wonder this morning if when we would consider ourselves, those that are employees this morning, those that have a place of employment, whether you're at the bottom of the corporate ladder or you're at the top of the corporate ladder, matters not, but you have a place of employment, there's some place that you'll go perhaps even tomorrow and you'll go to that place of employment. I wonder this morning if we would begin to consider ourselves missionaries. Not a missionary to a country, but a missionary to a company. Understanding that God has placed us there. I read a book, I actually finished it yesterday. It's called The Business Revival. It's written by an individual that probably doesn't believe everything biblically as I believe or as you would believe, but it's written by an individual that believes, he's trusted Christ as a Savior by his testimony in the book, and he believes that God hears and answers prayer, and he believed that God had him in his place of employment for a greater reason than just making a living. And man, it's a great book. I'd encourage you to get it and read it. Again, I would not endorse all of what he would believe biblically or theologically, but what God has done through this man and this perspective of how God is able to work is amazing. And really, the thought this morning that I'm not just a missionary to, or I'm not looking at just a missions map of saying these are the missionaries that we support that are going to foreign countries, but I wonder this morning, what if we could, what if we took the time to put together some sort of internal document of the companies that our members are missionaries to? And we began to pray one for another the way that we pray for our missionaries. Begin to think about, I'll use myself as an example when I worked in the corporate world that I worked for Sikorsky Aircraft Corporation. What if I had a group of people in the church that I attended during that period of time of my life that they prayed for the missionary at Sikorsky? The way that they prayed for the missionary in Scotland. You see how it changed our perspective. Begin to see that God has you in that place for a reason, for a time, for a purpose, and it's so much greater than just making a living. So often we get caught up in the corporate world and all the culture and the society. You understand that God can take care of us any way He chooses to take care of us. Amen? He used a raven to feed His prophet. God can take care of us. In this particular era, in this particular time, we find that often He uses a place of employment in order to take care of us, but we must understand that it's not about just making a living. The author of this book, he says it this way. He said, are you really, here's what he said, I think it's great. Do you have a desire to make a difference or just to make a mortgage payment? That was a quote from his book. That's what he says. And it's making that difference. And see, oftentimes what happens, and again, as we begin to think about this portion of Scripture and begin to think about our perspective and all that takes place, I wonder this morning how many people in our place of employment, how many people that we've come into contact with, and perhaps we've worked at this place for a short period of time, or perhaps we've worked there for a long period of time, how many people in that particular place of employment know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? I'm not suggesting this morning that we steal the time of our employers and we're there seeking to simply propagate the gospel and being a bad employee. No, I'm suggesting that we're good employees, the best employees, but I'm suggesting that, hey, is there somebody that you're praying for in your workplace? Is there somebody that you know that's dealing with a problem, that's dealing with... How many of you... I'm not going to ask you any names, but I am going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you know somebody that you work with that's lost? Everybody that has a job, now I can't raise my hand because I work with Holly, and she's saved, amen? But the reality is, listen, if you work somewhere, you probably know a lost person, right? Have you ever prayed for them? Do you have a list of coworkers? Maybe start with the one that bothers you the most. Seriously. Because guess what? God hears and answers prayer. You don't have to neglect 1 minute on the clock of working for your employer to do what you're supposed to do to pray for a coworker. Pray that God would open up a door, give you an opportunity. And when you embrace the perspective that we dealt with earlier in the message, as we are doing what we're doing, not for the boss, but for the Lord. When somebody says, man, this boss I can't stand, he's just a tyrant, he's this, he's that, blah, 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 blah. I could share stories with you from the corporate world. I worked in the corporate world for years. I understand what that difficulty is like. I may not understand your specific person, but we can just exchange names. Because you're always going to find someone that's that way. But I wonder this morning, do they see Christ in us, the hope of glory? Do the coworkers understand that, listen, how can you deal with this guy, blah, blah, blah? I'm looking beyond that person because I'm working as unto the Lord, not unto men. I believe this morning, it's interesting, I planned to preach this message several weeks ago. In fact, it was the week after Brother Savali was here that I was planning to preach this message, and through a series of circumstances, the Lord led me to preach a message on the return of Christ. And then last week, we had a baby dedication. But I believe that it's very interesting how that we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, and I believe that there's a direct correlation, connection, if you will, to the message that I'll be preaching this evening from Genesis 21. And I will not deal with much of that because I'll be preaching it this evening. But Abimelech says this of Abraham in Genesis 21 in verse number 22, God is with thee in all that thou doest. God is with thee in all that thou doest. And I just wonder this morning, we think about the workplace, the behavior in our workplace. I wonder this morning, is there anyone that we work with that would say of us what Abimelech said of Abraham? God is with thee in all that thou doest. Do they see God's hand of favor upon us? Do they see that there's something different about us? The reason that I believe that this is a catalyst for revival, our behavior in the workplace a catalyst for revival, is because there are connections that you have in your workplace that God can allow because of various relationships for you to be able to share the gospel with them, and they get saved and they get added to the church, and amazing things can happen. Do you know that when I go and knock on someone's door, they don't know who I am and they probably don't want me there? I have no relationship with them whatsoever. And I'm going to go there and I'm going to try to reach them with the gospel. But you have people that you work with, that there's a level, your neighbors is another aspect. We won't deal with that this morning, but the people that you work with, there's a relationship there. You pray for them and you work and you ask God to open up doors of opportunity. And I understand there are times we say, oh, there's no way that's going to happen. Do you believe God? Do you believe that God is able to do something in your workplace? Do you believe that God is able to use you, that He planted you there? Again, the question was asked by this author in the book that he wrote that I just finished yesterday, who am I here for? He gives the testimony that he had a career change. And in his career change, as he started in the new place of employment, he had some struggles and things that he was dealing with just trying to learn a new industry and so on and so forth. But the reality is that he wanted to have this perspective, who am I here for? Not only to answer that question that I'm here, God has placed me here, but did God place me here in order to reach certain people with the gospel? The answer is yes, because we're His ambassadors. Amen? And just as we look at that missions map and we focus upon and we speak about the importance of world missions, and I'm for it and I'm behind it and I give to missions every month and I love missions and we pray for our missionaries and we're excited to hear updates from our missionaries about what God is doing and how God is working. But wouldn't it be encouraging if next Sunday or 8 Sundays from now, there's someone sitting in the pew next to you. He says, oh, who, nice to meet you. This is one of my coworkers. Let me share with you how God worked and what God did and how God opened doors. Man, that's what it's about. It's not about just making a living. And so often we live in this culture, we live in this society that we can gain that perspective. I understand that culture and society is beating us up every single day. I understand that. And it's very easy to get our eyes shifted from what the biblical principle is and get into the monotony of life, to the monotony, the mundane behavior of, I just go to work, I'm just in and out, and I'm just doing. No, no, God has you there for a purpose. When I understand this morning that whatsoever I do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. I'm seeking to please God. And you know, God can move us wherever He wants to move us, and He can give us employment wherever He wants to give us employment, and we seek to be, even in that place, His representative. Are there challenges? Absolutely. You know why there are challenges? Because the devil doesn't want you to do it. So there'd be challenges. But the reality is that we can pray to the God of heaven, who can move in hearts and lives and can bring to pass amazing things. Listen, you might not be able to talk to your coworker about the Lord in certain settings because of the task at hand and the responsibility of being a good employee. But if you get a lunch break, there's nothing that says that you can't have lunch with someone. And here's the thing, and this is, God's been helping me in this not only through just a variety of means, talking with some of our missionaries and learning some things about some of what our missionaries are dealing with and some of the difficulties that they have faced and so on and so forth, is that, you know, maybe what we do is we just spend consistent time in prayer for an individual before we start trying to beat them over the head with Bible. And just pray that God would soften their heart, that God would allow things in their lives that will help them to understand their need for Christ. Maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's a family member that we just pray for. Within the context of this text of Scripture, maybe it's a coworker. When we ended the revival meeting, Pastor Edwards made this statement on one of the nights, I think it was Tuesday evening. he asked this question about God placing someone's name on your heart to pray for. And I just wonder this morning, as you think about your workplace and you think about the context of this particular message, maybe there's a decision that we need to make that, you know what, I've kind of lost focus a little bit. I've kind of lost my way in the workplace. I've gotten caught up in the politics of work, the office politics and the office whatever. And I've not really been working heartily as to the Lord. I've not really been the employee that I ought to be. You know that. God knows that. But maybe this morning, maybe God would put someone's name on your heart. And you just want to make a commitment to God. I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to pray that God will open up a door of opportunity. I believe with all of my heart that when we pray that God will open opportunities and we make a commitment that we'll seize those opportunities, that those are prayers that God delights in answering. Oftentimes it's easy to see an opportunity going, then coming. We say, man, I missed that opportunity. But if we're specifically engaged in praying for a coworker and praying that God will open their heart to the truth of the gospel and praying that God would give us the opportunity. I had plenty of times where I had coworkers that would come to me and say it in different ways. I had somebody say, I know you're a man of the cloth. What in the world is that, man? Anyway, they'd say it different ways. But they'd say, you know what? We just found out somebody's got cancer, somebody's got my this, my that. Would you pray for me? Because God works in the hearts of people. And if you begin to pray for those opportunities and you begin to pray for that one that God will put on your heart and mind, and you faithfully do that, and you're the best worker that you can be because you're serving Christ, God will open up doors of opportunity. And you may be the one that they come to and say, would you pray for me? And you can pray for them. But you see how that door just got opened for God to work. And of course, the greatest need that anyone needs, the greatest need that any individual has, is the need for salvation. Oftentimes, it will be a need for health, it'll be a need for finances, it'll be a need for marriage, it'll be a need for fill in the blank that will bring them to the place of realizing they're falling apart, their life is a mess. And then ultimately, through conversation and through biblical truth, they'll realize what they really need is Christ. What they need is Christ. And God has you in your place. I would not do it for sake of the fact that we're on live stream. But if I could, if I knew, I don't even know everywhere that people work in our church, but if I knew the name of each employer in my heart and in my mind, it's we have a missionary to fill in the blank, a missionary to fill in the blank, a missionary to fill in the blank. These are the missionaries from our church that this week, that tomorrow, get to go into all of those workplaces and let your light shine. We tell the kids, we sing it with the kids. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! But man, we go to the workplace and we say, man, I left that light at home. Because I am, right? But we're His representatives. We're His ambassadors. And I believe this morning, in the culture, in the age in which we're living, that this truth about our behavior in the workplace can be the catalyst to revival in our world. Because we go all over the place, all of our different respective places of employment, and we can reach people with the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for loving us. God, we thank You for Your Word and how Your Word gives us instruction truly in every area of our lives. This morning, as we focus our attention upon this portion of Scripture and deal with our behavior in the workplace, I thank You for the places of employment that You've given to our church family, the places in which You have chosen to plant them. Not solely for the purpose of making a living, for the purpose of being your representative. There are souls that daily come in contact with those that are sitting in this building, those that are listening via live stream, that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we faithfully pray for our missionaries, pray this morning that you would help us to faithfully pray for one another with the thought that we go as missionaries not to a foreign country, but to a company. God, I pray that you'd help us to be the employees that we're to be. Would you help us to operate with integrity, singleness of heart? Would you help us in whatsoever we do to do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men? Would you help us, God, to exalt and magnify you in our lives and even in the workplace? Put that name of that coworker on folks' hearts this morning. And I pray that we would make a commitment to pray faithfully and diligently, that you would open up doors of opportunity, that those opportunities would be seized. Lord, you'd help us to see souls saved and lives changed. That truly this could be a catalyst for revival. We pray that you'd seal every decision, that you'd work as only you can. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me?